Let's go to the Revolution Hotline. Speaking of great athletes, my buddy Dave Bartu's on the line. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going today, Justin?
Well, pretty good so far. We're creating a little stir here, reporting your new column that's up on College Football Matrix, and we've had you on before. And I sold it as a mathematical analysis. You said it's more of a what? How would you describe what you're talking about with John L. Smith today?
It's really more odds and trends. There's no special math formula or crazy stuff like the BCS has. It's just really simply a way of taking a decade worth of numbers and applying trends and odds to it and saying, okay, we have a coach, we have a pattern, whether it's Bobby Petrino or John L. Smith, and my opinion is simply that of what I see as the most, the highest statistical probability of happening.
Well, let's talk about Bobby Petrino first, and we've had you on to talk about this in the past, mostly around recruiting, but the impact of Bobby Petrino as a head coach has been an extremely positive one, at least on the field.
Yeah, when you look at the numbers within the matrix charts, what Petrino has done, whether it's in the SEC or nationally, is really beyond reproach. His numbers in terms of upset wins when he was predicted to lose was double that, the nearest coach in the SEC. He was definitely in the top five in the country at producing upset wins. And a caveat to that is the other four teams that produced upset wins, they were also terrible recruiters. You know, a Kansas State, a Wake Forest, teams that, you know, every two out of every three games they were playing somebody that out-recruited them. Where with Arkansas, it was very rare that they, or much less of an odds that they were playing somebody that out-recruited them just because of their recruiting over, you know, the four-year span. So I don't think you can understate his impact at almost 2.5 games a year in his four-year tenure there.
So 2.5 games a year. I said he's worth at least a win a year. You're saying it's closer to 2.5.
Yeah, I think of you when you compare his results using the same trends and odds with all coaches across college football, the guy was really, you got to say, almost in a league of his own with what he did there at Arkansas. It really is amazing numbers. Not only the winning, but the losing. And I think that's something that a lot of people haven't talked about. In his 4 years there, he only lost two games. When you take in his recruiting trends and adjust for where the game was played, whether at home or on the road, he lost only two games in which he out-recruited the other team. So not only did he win what he was supposed to win, he won games that the model had predicted he would lose at a much higher rate than anybody else.
It's collegefootballmatrix.wordpress.com if you want in on this. And it's the top story on the website right now. We're talking to Dave Bartu of College Football Matrix. And okay, so now we flip the script. John L. Smith is the new head hog. He's going to be leading the way this fall and maybe beyond that, depending on how things play out. But you're saying if things play out like you expect, well, if things play out like you expect, according to what you wrote on the website, he will not be the head hog beyond this year. So what's the impact of John L. Smith as the leader of the Razorbacks this fall, in your opinion?
Well, I first thing I did is I looked at his impact at Michigan State. And this is a guy in 4 years at Michigan State. And remember, Petrino was plus almost 2.5 games over 4 years. Over 4 years, he won 9 more games than he was predicted to. John L. Smith lost 4 more games than he was predicted to. At 4 years at Michigan State using the exact same formula for performance. John L. Smith in 4 years, only 3 times did he upset somebody that out-recruited him. Petrino did it 11 times. So you look at the trends and pattern of John L. at Michigan State, and I know it's apples to oranges. You know, it's a new leaf turning over, and Rich Rod was great at West Virginia and terrible at Michigan, so it can go the other way. But when you look at those numbers, it tells me that the greatest odds for performance in terms of his coaching is taking away those 2.5 games that Petrino was having such a profound effect on, taking what I would see as a 9-10 win Arkansas team this year down to a 7, maybe 8 win team.
How much do you, figure in, or is there any way to figure in the fact that you've got such a talented group of players coming back, or at least in our opinion?
And see, that's I think that's one of the things is that's just the opinion. You know, the everybody, you know, has their opinion on how talented they are. And that's one of the great things about the college football matrix charts and so forth. It isn't perfect. You know, it certainly leaves the door open for, you know, the Kansas State to go 11-1 and teams to be a surprise. But when you look at the overall talent there, the question is, was it the talent that was getting the wins or was it more of a coaching impact that was getting the wins? To me, the person that has possibly the greatest impact in terms of his overall value in this whole equation is your quarterback. You know, because to me, Tyler's going to be the leader on the field. You know, John L. Smith has proven that I don't think his coaching is that good, at least in the past. But you have a lot of returning starters. You have a very solid quarterback and a leader there. To me, once you start getting beyond eight wins, it may be a more of a factor of quarterback play and leadership than the coaching.
So what are you anticipating? If you had to put your house on it, your kids' college fund, everything you've ever made in your life on it, what is the win total for Arkansas this fall? I'll even give you a two-game spread. So give me a two-game spread.
Right now, offshore, the line on the Hogs is unchanged at 8.5 wins, and I would take the under.
Mm-hmm. Really? Dave Bartu joining us from College Football Matrix for the last time ever. We'll never have him on again.
Tell anybody when you're driving through Arkansas.
My neighbor is a Hog grad. There's red
right?
all over the place. It's amazing.
He's going to TP a house out there. He's the one Razorback grad that lives in Oregon. Amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're hated by Oregon fans and Razorback fans now.
Wow, how's that feel?
you gotta have both sides. But I remember the first time I was on a show. It was last year in Mississippi when Mississippi State was preseason top 20 and everybody was high on it. And I said they'd be 5-6 going into the Egg Bowl. Went over every single win and loss that they'd have, and it was exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're wrong this time.
You know, and if I am, people will let me know. And if I'm right, nobody will say anything.
No, but I'll let you come back on towards the end of the season if you are on pace to be correct. Now, when Arkansas has eight wins before November or eight wins before they play their 10th game, then we're going to have to talk, big guy. That'd be a
wrong. Oh, yeah. You can
South
have me
Carolina.
Back on. If I'm going to dish it, I can take it. You know, it's. Like I said, it's been wrong plenty of times, but for example, last year in the SEC preseason, this time last year, it predicted nearly 82% of every single game right just using a couple of numbers.
Hmm. Dave Bartu, smart guy, joining us in the zone.
Do you have any other numbers for Major League Baseball and the NBA?
Okay. I haven't gone that far to get into that. This takes up, as you can imagine, 120 plus teams. It takes a lot of free time just goofing around with this. But you know, having so much information over nearly a decade now, it's pretty simple to put together and analyze things, at least from odds and a trends point of view.
So, Dave, you also, in addition to all this information that you have shared on the website, which is great. Have allowed people to weigh in on their opinion. What do they think is going to happen? So you've got a poll running as well.
Yeah, I do. The first article that I wrote on the before, during, and after Petrino, profiling them, and you know, to try to let people understand that they shouldn't be playing down how good his coaching was. The follow-up article on the John L. Smith, we've had a poll on it. Let's see here. There was almost 3,000 Hogs that... that read the first article on Petrino. We got a couple hundred on this one. So far, the voting. Let's see here. Nobody has voted to take six wins or less under John L. Smith.
Well, that's good.
But got 11% that says I am blanking nuts, 10-plus wins in the SEC championship game. 42% agree with my 7-5 and that they won't finish in the top 25. And the majority right now, 47%, seven's too few, not drinking Kool-Aid, but 8-9 wins is where we should be, and 8-9 it straddles the current line as well. So it seems to make sense. Nobody's really too far down on it, but it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of people that are too crazy about double-digit wins either, which is statistically 39% of all AQ schools go back-to-back double-digit regular season wins over the last decade.
Yeah, we talked about this on the air yesterday with one of our contributors, and that was my thing, is that even with Petrino there, I mean, everybody was going, oh, they're going to win the West, they're going to go to the SEC championship game, they'll probably have a shot at the national title, which is all possible. Certainly it was. It absolutely was on the table. But it was also a possibility they'd only win 8 or 9 or 10 games. I mean, it was.
Oh, you're nuts. They were going to win it all.
Oh, for sure. But, I mean, you know, it's we get crazy, but you've got to kind of temper it to me and be a little bit reasonable, because occasionally coaches lose games you don't expect them to lose. And even though the games are in Fayetteville, LSU and Alabama were not gimmies. Those are two teams that will come in ranked, in all likelihood, ahead of Arkansas. Now, they may not be favored in the game because of the game being played in Fayetteville, but they'll probably come in ranked ahead. For sure, you guess Alabama will be ranked ahead of Arkansas when they come into Fayetteville.
Yeah, those LSU and Alabama, I mean, just the bottom line is I don't care what most people say, they still underestimate the power of the SEC West. To be my usual anti-homer, when you look at the numbers, LSU and Alabama are tougher to beat when you host them than go on the road. If you're going to beat Alabama or LSU in the last decade, they give up more upsets at home than on the road.
Huh.
So, you know, it's a tough out either way. It doesn't matter where that game's played, even if it's neutral site, even if you move that LSU back to Little Rock. Uh-huh. It's still going to be a tough game. It's really a matter of the division you're in. And when you look at all the numbers, just winning the division is very, very difficult in terms of the odds over the last decade.
Dave Bartu joining us, College Football Matrix. And I was going to ask you, too, have you ever looked at that? Because Arkansas is the only school now that does it on a regular basis where they have more than one home site where they play a couple games every year in Little Rock. Have you ever looked at that and seen the impact of – and, again, you have to base it somewhat on who they're playing, and certainly you bring all that into account, whether they're favored to win, what level of competition they're playing, that kind of thing. But the impact of a Little Rock game versus a Fayetteville game?
Little Rock and Fayetteville, I wouldn't know. But every single school has an assigned power ranking when they're playing at home or on the road. Okay, so for example, like Alabama, their performance at home and on the road, their road value is one of the highest in the country. Same with LSU, same with Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech at home is going to lose three times more often at home than on the road. For most teams, the home is really, it is an advantage. But there's some schools that are coached down so far. Let's say like a Cal out here in Pac-12, their value at home is zero. It's straight up. They just simply do not beat teams that have better talent than them. So, yeah, it is an adjustment, but I would say having in Little Rock, you're still going to have it full of Hog fans. It's still going to be loud. There's still going to be some home field there, but it's not going to be as comfortable as in Fayetteville.
Dave, I was going to ask you, too, one other thing. One of the games that people are sort of looking at this year for Arkansas, it's a road game, is Auburn. And, of course, Gus Malzahn has left, and to me he was the brains behind the operation over there during their national championship run. Oh, that and the fact they had Cam Newton, who's pretty good. But and I'm also admittedly a Gene Chizik hater, because he went to my alma mater and made an already bad program worse and then left. But what do you think the impact is there, and how do you figure Auburn will fare this year? Have you had a chance to look at that yet?
Well, I think Auburn's going to fare good. In fact, the preseason, what got me into all this is just figuring out what it took to be eligible for the BCS championship. The year that the Ducks and Auburn went, both of them were in their group of nine that would compete in the BCS title game. In my opinion, Auburn, it's going to come down to their schedule, how well they're going to do. Right now, I think their line on them is 7.5. Numerically, and you look at the trends, I would take the over on that. They have a favorable schedule. It's a team that can, in my opinion, with the schedule and their recruiting, win 8-9, maybe get a lucky bounce and get 10 games. That may be one of the surprise teams there in the SEC.
Okay, I'll bet you a cheeseburger from a place of your choice, if they even serve those in Oregon, among those tree huggers out there, that Arkansas has more wins.
Soybean burger.
That Arkansas has more wins than Auburn this year. You want to take that bet?
Oh, okay. If they tie, there's nothing. If Arkansas has more, I will send you a quart jar of my special dry rub.
Okay. Oh boy, that sounds. I don't know about that. That sounds a little strange coming from Oregon.
No. If you don't smoke, I'm sure there's a listener out there that say, hey, I'll take that rub, put it on some pork for you, and smoke it up, and we'll have a good time at the station.
Listen, brother, I smoke.
What goes into your pork rub?
It's a secret.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff.
I was trying to trick him.
Nobody tells
that. Give me one.
What can I send you if I lose?
Some of your pork rub.
I don't have any pork rub.
If you lose, how about a hog shirt?
Okay, I'll send you. You know what? I'll send you a hog shirt and a hog hat if I lose.
There you go.
No.
Yeah, I get all sorts of stuff from fans that love the work. I got all sorts of team stuff all over the place. Got one from Florida the other day. Got a Mississippi State. Yeah, they got no hog gear though. So
after the story you put out today, buddy, the only thing you're gonna get is a Razorback middle finger, I'm afraid. But
well, that's okay. The Vols hate it when I said Dooley totally stinks because he's never beaten a single team that's out recruited him in his career.
How much longer is he gonna last?
This year.
You think this is it, huh?
He's the only active coach in the SEC. He's the only active coach, AQ coach. That has two or more years of experience without beating somebody that has out-recruited him. He has no upset win. In a nutshell, he cannot coach him up.
That's a spirit. I like that. Let's smash Tennessee while we're at it. That's a way to go out on a high note, Dave. Good work, my friend. That is it. You want to endear yourself to Razorback fans, you kick Tennessee around.
Do you sell your dry rub? What's the name of it?
Oh no, I don't. I don't sell it. I'll send some out to you anyway, just so you can tell me if
you should sell it.
Crazy Folk Oregon Dry Rub, and it's got no weed in it either. Even though 40% of the people out here smoke it.
That's what they say. The best weed comes from Portland, right?
Well, I mean,
all the NBA players like to go up to Portland.
Well, it's a great environment for it because of they get the rain and it's.
What's the golf?
It's the greenest place I've ever been. I've been to Portland before.
What's the golf courses up there? Is it there or Washington?
Well, you got Bandon down south, and by them is like Pumpkin Ridge, and they've got some sweet courses.
Bandon Dunes, right?
Yeah, Bandon Dunes is southwest of Portland.
Yeah, Bandon Dunes is out here. Pumpkin Ridge is 10 minutes from me right now. So
they got good restaurants and lots of good microbrews out there, too. It's a great – I love Portland. It's a great town. We need to go. I've been there
for 10
years.
Oh, yeah, there's brewing everywhere. My kegerator downstairs has 3-quarter barrels in it right now. So if you were here, we could be pulling down one of those.
You make your own rub and your own beer?
What don't you do? Do you make your own shoes, too? You definitely make your own.
He makes his own shoes.
I'm in Oregon. I don't need to wear shoes, man.
Wow, good deal. Well, Dave, it's fascinating stuff. Check it out, collegefootballmatrix.wordpress.com, and it's just one of the many interesting articles that are online right now, and you can vote in support or in support of Dave or in support of the Hogs. You choose. Dave, thanks, and, generally, unfortunately, Dave is right more often than he's wrong, so hopefully he's not right on this one. But we appreciate the time, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, great. Thank you very much for having me on, and you guys have a great show today.